Okay, let us discuss a few inyanim relating to Parshas Bereishis. I want to first begin with a remez. I saw this remez in Rav Shur Seif HaLekach VaHalivov, a beautiful remez for the beginning of the Torah. The first letter of the Torah is a base. The last letter of the Torah is a letter La'enei Kol Yisrael Zalam. Everyone knows this. Everyone discusses this. The two letters are Lev. If you go backwards, Lev. And then they always bring in the first letters of the Mishnah and the Gemara and so on and so forth. But I'm sure, I think he's quoting someone else, says, well, there's a middle letter. Don't forget about the middle letter. What's the middle letter of the Torah? The Vav D'Gochain. Every time you want to encompass something in its entirety, there's always the middle, just like in the Aleph base. The first letter is Aleph, the middle letter is Mem, and the last letter is Tav, which spells out MS. The Aleph base, which encapsulates Kol HaTorah Kula, the building blocks of creation. The Gemara says this: Aleph, the first letter is Aleph, the middle is Mem, Tav. The world is built on Emes. Emes Me'eretz Titzmach. The earth, the truth comes from the earth. The world cannot exist without Emes. So the middle letter is the Vav. So what are the three letters in total? Beis, Vav, Lamed. Bull. Bull. What do bulls stand for when you begin the Torah? Beficha uvilvavcha la'asaisai. Pasuk in the end of the Devarim, ki koloi velecha hadavar ma'oid. When you begin the Torah, don't think the Torah is too difficult. Beginning Parshas Bereishis, a new cycle. Torah, one can be scared. Don't be scared. Beis, the oisios, which encompass the Torah from beginning to end. Beficha, it's in your peh and in your heart. Torah must be expressed, it must be in your emotions, and it must be lemaisa. That's the remez for the Torah. It also just happens to be, he also says, this is an unrelated issue, a few chapters later, one of his svarim, what is Chodesh? Shabbos Bereishis is always Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Cheshvan. Right? Now these names, Cheshvan, there are other names in, these are Babylonian names. Tishrei, very good. How do you know that? So in Sefer Melachim, where the Beis Hamikdash is, the various months are referred to when describing the Beis Hamikdash, different events, Chodesh Cheshvan is called Chodesh Bul, Beis Vav Lamed. What is now? But it's also called Chodesh Cheshvan. What is Cheshvan? From all the months, is the only month that doesn't have any holidays. There are 12 months. This is a very popular Torah. Every month has a holiday. Tishrei, Kislev is Chanukah. Teves is also Chanukah. In the beginning of Teves.
It's Mar Cheshvan.
Every month has a holiday, but Cheshvan has no holiday, so therefore we give it a prefix of Mar. It's bitter. Mar Cheshvan, but it's not. How could it possibly be that there's no holiday? There's nothing significant. So the commentators tell us that Cheshvan comes from the word Ruchushe Mirachashan Sifvose. Person's lips are murmuring, like the expression of Chazal, Sifsois of Doivvois Bakev. When the person learns in this world, and he is Machadish Torah, and someone repeats the Torah of the person after he passes, the lips of the deceased, they murmur. Ruchushe Mirachashon Sifvose. The lips murmur. Cheshvan, our lips are still murmuring the nigunim, the thoughts, the machshavos of what we've learned, of what we've experienced in Tishrei. Hopefully the experience of Chodesh Tishrei, of Elul, Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, was so powerful, you're still subconsciously singing the tunes of what you remember from the Simcha Space HaShoev, from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, of Yesoyu, and of V'chol Ma'aminim, into the month of Cheshvan. Subconsciously, alas. Bull. That's Chodesh Bull. The Torah, the tafkid of Torah is, it should make an impression on you that it should come to the point where it's subconscious. It's ruchushe merachashan sifase. It should be bull. Bull is synonymous, a little bit of a drush. Bull is synonymous with cheshvain. And cheshvain represents the subconscious. Is that we don't need a holiday. We don't need a positive holiday in cheshvain. Because the impression, the powerful impression of Chodesh Tishrei is so strong, it continues with us into Chodesh Cheshvan. That's the tafkid of Torah. It should not be something that's superficial. Torah is not something, okay, now you learn, now you daven, and goodbye, and the rest of the day is just business as usual. The whole day has to be a day of the davening of the morning has to go with you the whole day. The learning of the day, of the night, has to always be with you. Your lips, when you do your mundane activities, your lips and your mind, your thoughts, always have to murmur, flutter with the holy experiences you have during the day. That's the tafkid of Torah. It's not just something which is said for a few minutes a day here and there. Torah is bull. Beficha uvilvavcha la soisai. Bull is Chodesh Cheshvan. Chodesh Cheshvan, there's no need for a holiday. It's a mundane month from beginning to end. Why? How could it possibly be that you have a mundane month from beginning to end? Pum Faker, Chodesh Cheshvan is the ultimate, it's the holiest month. Because it's the month where we're living off it, the experience that we've had in Tishrei is so powerful that it continues to flow in our subconscious life into the mundane activities of Chodesh Cheshvan. So all of these ideas come together. Just to review, Beficha uvilvavcha la soisai beis, the first letter vav is vav, the gochen is the middle letter, lamed is the end, bull, ki kolav elecha dav ma'ificha uvilvavcha la soisai. There are three parts to Torah, there's the peh, the dibur, the machshava, and the maisa. Bull is Chodesh Cheshvan, Cheshvan is ruchushe rachshem sivvasei, represents the impression, remains with us. The tafkid of Torah is not the maisa, it's the depth. The Torah should make an impression upon us and should be with us in all of our activities. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a short idea. I just found it. I found this. It's not really related to Bereishis, but I found this in a short sefer, and I found this to be a very powerful idea, and it just relates a little bit to Parashas Bereishis. We know that we have Sveika Diyom and Chutz Liaretz. We live in Chutz Liaretz. We have 2 days Yom Tov. How could it possibly be Chazal have the power to make a second day of Yom Tov, especially Bisman Hazeh, when we became Bikvid Yachbisham with Bisman Shabbat Shaykhan? We had no choice. We did not know if it was when the calendar date was, because of Makashal Piri'i, and then the witnesses did not arrive in the different distant communities until a certain period of time. So we had no choice to observe 2 days. But Bisman Hazeh, the calendar has been set. So why do we observe 2 days of Sukkot, 2 days of Shmini Atzeres, 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, even 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? That's a discussion in and of itself. So the answer is obviously Minog Avoseinu B'Yodeinu. But it's Minog Avoseinu B'Yodeinu so powerful in order to be mevatel all of the mitzvot that we normally do during the day, tefillin? How could it be that the Chazal have taken away from us the ability to put on tefillin? We don't put on tefillin on the second, and normally it will be the second day Shmini Atzeres. You put on tefillin. How could it be the Chazal telling us to make brachos, which are not really the correct brachos for that day? You're making kiddush, you're making shachiyanu, you're making all these things. It's not really the right day to make these brachos. So Rav Shur, he cites a source, I'm not familiar with the name of the sefer, that we know that the Torah gives authority to Chazal through Sheva Al Tase. The Torah does not give power to Chazal to create new things. You can't do new things where the new things contradict Halach. But Chazal, this is the chorus for this, and I don't have the source in front of me now, but this is in the Gemara. To sit back and do nothing, Shev, to sit, Va'al Tase, that you can do. Torah says, blow shofar. Blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's Shabbos. I'm going to blow shofar, I may come to carry the shofar into the Rosh Hashanah. So Chazal have a legitimate power, and this is in the Torah, this is based on Midrashim, to tell you, don't blow shofar. They don't have power to tell you, oh, blow shofar, well, you're not supposed to blow shofar. Kum v'aseh. Get up and do something to do something. But Shabbos, just don't blow shofar. Sit back and don't blow shofar. Shev al taseh. When Yom Tov begins, we bring a kedusha of Yom Tov. Do you know how Chazal have given us power to have kedusha on the second day Yom Tov? It's to shev al taseh. What's the shev al taseh? Just don't make havdalah. It's an incredible idea. Yom Tov is here. When does Yom Tov end? When does Shabbos end? How does Shabbos end? You're not allowed to do melacha until you make havdalah. Until you say, Baruch Hamavdu bin Kodesh Lachol, or Atochan Antonu, or make havdalah with the bracha, you're not allowed to do melacha. You're not allowed to turn on the lights. You're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to cook. It's usur. It borders on mamish chil Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos. Once you bring into this world your makabel Shabbos, there's kedusha. The day is over. Now the day is over. You have a power by reciting havdalah to terminate the kedusha, to bring an end to the kedusha. You recite havdalah, it's over. But as long as you don't recite havdalah, the kedusha continues. You have one day Yom Tov. How in the world did Chazal give kedusha to a second day Yom Tov? They're giving it kedusha. They're giving you kedusha ad kedei kach that they're telling you not to put on tefillin. They're giving you kedusha ad kedei kach that you're allowed to make a bracha, you're allowed to daven shmon esrei, which has nothing to do with the real calendar day. The answer is, you know what Chazal did? Shev al taseh. Just don't make havdalah. The first day Sukkot is over. Just gesundheit. Don't make havdalah. If you don't make havdalah, it's still Yom Tov. The Kedusha is Mamshech. The Kedusha is Mamshech. The Yom Tov is still here. Now, based upon that principle, okay, that principle, let me just take the sidetrack for a moment. This year on Tisha B'Av, I heard a beautiful drasha by, I think, the name is Rav Stern. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Beis Meir. There's a yeshiva in Bar Park called Beis Meir. The Rosh Yeshiva's name is Rav Stern. He spoke on Tisha B'Av, and he spoke this year, and it's going to happen many years now, for the next couple of years. Something to keep in mind. He gave a drasha for an hour on this theme. He gave different examples. Tisha B'Av was on a Sunday. When Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday, this year?
No, this year was on Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Oh, this year.
This past year, I'm a little confused. Whenever it is. And wasn't it on a Sunday this past year?
Yeah.
This past year. Next year is going to be when?
Next year will be first day Pesach, Tuesday.
Okay, but this past year was on a Shabbos. The halacha is, you don't make havdalah. Ala kois, you say the Shemona Esrei, but you don't make havdol, the real havdol, until Tisha B'Av is over on Sunday. So his whole thing was, if you don't make havdolah, the kedush of Shabbos never really went away. So when a Tisha B'Av is chal on a Sunday, it's a different type of Tisha B'Av. It's a Tisha B'Av which has with it the kedusha of Shabbos. And he went on to give different examples. It's a holy Tisha B'Av. It's not your average Tisha B'Av. People also nidcha. It's a nidcha. Tisha B'Av should have been this day, that day. This year it's a shvacha Tisha B'Av. Okay, in certain areas of halacha, it's weaker. But in other areas, there's a certain sanctity that you gain when Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday because you're not making Havdalah. And when you don't make Havdalah, the Kiddush of Shabbos never went away. It's a Yom Tov Tikka Tisha B'Av. And he gave different examples. That was the topic of his Joshua, which is not for now. But the point over here is the same when it comes to 2 days of Yom Tov. If you don't make Havdalah, Chazal give you a koyach to give Kiddush the second day by Shev Al Tasi. Just don't make Havdalah. If you don't make Havdalah, the Kiddush is Mamshach to the next day. Now let's take this and go a step further. What's the difference between Shabbos, Havdalah, Shabbos, and Yom Tov? There's no question we make Havdalah when Yom Tov is over. Everyone makes Havdalah. But when Yom Tov is over, you don't make Havdalah on, you don't make Besamim. There are no Besamim. Why not? What? No way. So H is simple, because H is only Mitzvah Shabbos. Fire was created Mitzvah Shabbos. That's when the fire was created. So mainly we commemorate that, we incorporate it into the Havdalah, we make Havdalah, and we make Eish on Mitzvah Shabbos. It's not really part of Havdalah. It's a din in itself. But what about the Besamim? So the reason why we have some is because the Neshama Yisera departs. On Shabbos, we have Neshama Yisera. And that's what's Kabbalah Shabbos. We discussed this yesterday. Kabbalah Shabbos. You go out to be mekabel the neshama yisera. The Shechina brings, when the Shechina comes Friday night, the neshama yisera arrives. And when Shabbos leaves, the neshama yisera departs. A person's weak. He's faint. Part of his soul has left. So what about Yom Tov? How come when Yom Tov is over, you get a neshama yisera on Yom Tov also? We discussed yesterday and 2 days ago why you're not mekabel the neshama yisera for Yom Tov, the host and the guest. But l'chayra, you get a neshama yisera when Yom Tov comes. So when Yom Tov is over, the neshama yisera l'chayra leaves. If it leaves, you should have besamim to mechazek your soul. So there are different answers. One answer is, in Echanami, you don't get a Neshama Yisera. That's the Baal Badash answer. You don't get a Neshama Yisera, so you're not weak. But the better answer is, you get a Neshama Yisera. The difference is, it doesn't leave. On Yom Tov, you earn the Neshama Yisera. You earn it. You make it. When you make it and you earn it, it doesn't leave. It's with you for the rest of the year. If it's with you, you don't need to make a Shabbos, easy come, easy go. Every 7 days it comes and goes. Yom Tov, Kvi V'Kaima. Bezdin has to sanctify the month. Bezdin has to give Kedusha. You earn it. Something that you earn doesn't leave. It's not going anywhere. In Meila, there's no need to make Havdalah on Besamim Mitzvah Yom Tov.
Now,
you get a Neshama.
You get a new one?
Yeah, new, higher and higher.
On the first Yom Tov.
You get a new, what? You get
an extent. Unless you have Rosh Hashanah, the first Yom Tov.
You get a new Neshama.
So what happens?
You get a new Neshama, you say, or it doesn't leave.
So you get all these extra.
That's right. You keep on building your whole life. You go higher and higher. Neshamas, absolutely. Well, the intent, yes. You go higher and higher. Throughout your life, you bring within yourself more and more Kedusha, and you go higher and higher.
Shabbos, you got your back.
Yeah, goes away Shabbos, Neshama Yisera. Chazal said the Neshama Yisera goes away. This is Chazal. You have to make Masam. What? So that's halacha. The Neshama of Shabbos leaves. And the only reason why you don't need to make Masamim.
If it's together, Yom Tov and
yes, you don't make besamim because the Yom Tov will, the Neshama Yisera will leave. If you have Yom Tov and Shabbos together, and let's say Shabbos going into Yom Tov, when Shabbos is over, the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos will leave. The only reason why you do not need to make besamim is because since it's Yom Tov, the Yom Tov itself will prevent you from fainting. You don't need the Yom Tov, the happiness of Yom Tov will serve in place of the besamim. That's what it says. That's Mishnah. This is Pocket. Now the point of what? Through your avoda, through davening, through learning, through the mitzvos, the special mitzvos that you perform on Yom Tov. But just like in the big picture of things, that Yom Tov is sanctified by Bezdin. That's symbolic of the fact that Yom Tov is something which we create, the kedusha we create. Now, what do we want with all this? When you have the end of the Yom Tov going into Shabbos, not only Shabbos, let's say the Shmini Atzeres is really the ultimate Yom Tov, because it's the end of all of the Chagim. And when Yom Tov is over, we make Havdalah, but it doesn't totally leave us. The Kedusha doesn't totally leave us. And that Kedusha goes into Shabbos. So, there's a lot of talk about the significance of Shabbos Bereishis. Shabbos Bereishis, to a certain degree, is a continuation of Shmini Atzeres. Because, first of all, the cycle repeats itself. But when Yom Tov is over, it's only a minor Havdalah. Like you make Havdalah. But the fact that we make a bracha on Besam is an indication that the Neshama lingers on with us. And Yeshmini Atzeres is the spitz. It is the climax of all of the Moadim. And now when we begin Shabbos, we merge, there's a mingling of the two. There's the Neshama Yisera, the Neshama that has been earned by Yeshmini Atzeres, building into Shabbos Bereishis, the first Shabbos of the year, or well, not of the year, but it's the first Shabbos of the cycle, there's a mingling of the two Kedusha. Okay, the reason why I really told you the Vard is because I like the Vard of the Shevi Al Tase, the 2 days Yom Tov. But just on a minor note, we should keep in mind there's much discussion about the mingling of Shabbos Bereishis with Shmini Atzeres, and with what we just said, we can appreciate a little bit, keeping in mind that Shmini Atzeres is the climax of all the Moadim, and when Yom Tov is over, the Neshama Yisrael does not depart. When Shabbos arrives, we get a new Neshama, and there's a mingling of the new Neshama that comes on Shabbos with this old Neshama which we have acquired and stays with us forever. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, Rav Michal asked me to speak about the first Rashi in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak lo hayot sarich lahaschil es haTorah ela meachodesh zelochem shemitzvah rishonah shenitzavu bo Yisrael. The Torah really should have begun with Achodesh Parshas Bo, because that's where the mitzvahs begin. The Torah is a form of instruction. The mitzvahs begin in Parshas Bo, and why then is there a record of what happened in Ma'ase Bereishis? All of this should be in the Medrash. This all should be Midrashim. Hashem created the world in 7 days. What happened on the first day and the second day? And there was an Adam and a Chava, and there was a chet of the Eitz Hadas. These are wonderful things. These are historical facts. They're beautiful things. But this L'chor should have been assigned to Midrashim. Really, it is. I mean, to understand even one pasuk in the Torah, you need an encyclopedia of Midrashim to decipher exactly what took place. The Mabul, and Ma'ase Bereishis, and Avram Avinu. We only have teeny bits of information about the life of the Avos. There are encyclopedias of Midrashim are telling us what happened, and there are things that we don't know and we'll never know. There are gaps that are not in the Midrashim, or it's true there are Midrashim that have been lost. There were things that were known, and every once in a while you find things like a very common example of this, the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. The Kinos on Tisha B'Av, the Pai, the Kalir, he says facts that there are no sources for. Everything today in this day and age, where does it say it? If you say a chiddush, the first thing is you're attacked. A barrage of attack. How can you say? Where does it say? Oh, you say the chiddush. How dare you say this? Where does it say? Tell me in Makar. So I'm old, you'll find in Makar. So if you don't want to sign in Makar, you say a chiddush, a Jewish. You find in Makar, a medrash, an obscure medrash. Then they challenge, is it really a medrash? Maybe just some type of Baba Maisa, this and that. But the Kalir, you can't play games with the Kalir. The Kalir is Kodesh Kedoshim. We don't even know, he himself is a big mystery, who he was and when he lived. But there are things in the Kinos that, what did he say? Where did he get this from? He says this. Who says? Where does it come from? And the biggest experts and the biggest hackers on the computer with all the expertise and doing all the refined searches cannot find a makar for things that are written in the Kinos. So what's the answer? One of two things. Either the Kalir had access to Midrashim, which through Golus has been lost from us, which is certainly true. We know that as a fact. There are Midrashim which are gone. Golus and all the Tsaris, they disappeared. Or there was tradition. It's a better answer. There was tradition. There were things that were handed down from one generation to the other. This is the way it was. And it's not written anywhere. But it's the fact. This is the way it was. This is what Adam looked like. This is what Bilhah and Zilpah looked like. They had these features. They did these things. And this person had this talent. You're not going to find any source. And it was never lost from history. But it's tradition. So same thing. Everything in Chumash, that's Rashi's really question. Everything in Chumash Bereishis doesn't belong here. We can start with all of the instructions. Torah is instruction. Right. The literal meaning of the word Torah is instruction. Torah tziva lanu hara, instruction. So Teuda, Torah and Teuda. What's it doing here? So the answer is, you're right. Rashi says, you know why it's here? Matan pasal Bereishis, Mishum, Koyach, Masaf, the power of his deeds, Higiliyamu, he has made known to his people, Loseis Lahem, to give them Nachalaskaim, to give them the inheritance of the nations. Now we search, now what does that mean? Now we simply translate these words. What?
Which chapter?
The very first Rashi in Chumash Bereishis. Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, 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 Aleph. Now, how do we translate? How do we translate Nachlaskam? It means Eretz Yisrael. It simply means the inheritance of the nations. It refers to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rashi really explicitly says so. Sheib Yomer Umos Olif, the nation of the world will say Li Yisrael Listimatem. It's a very precise word. Your bandits. Doesn't say Ganovim. Doesn't say Roitzchim. Doesn't say an apartheid state. It says your Listim. Listim is someone that stands by the crossroads. That itself is subject to much discussion. What is the precise meaning of the word Listim? B'loshon Rabim. Doesn't say, is there a singular word for Listim? How you say? That itself is an interesting idea. There's no singular for the word Listim, is a plural. You're bandits. What's a bandit? I don't know. I mean, there are many words. Rov Ganve Yisrael. Doesn't say Rov Yisrael, Rov Listim are Yisrael.
Arm robbery?
Is that really what it means? Okay, I don't know. This, I'm sure you can write a thesis on the precise meaning of the word Listim and tie it into this Rashi. What exactly is the argument of the Umos Olam connected Klal Yisrael? They're not calling us Ganovim. They're not calling us Reitzchim. They're not calling us all the other words in the book. They're calling us Listim.
Excuse me, they still were hiding themselves.
Okay, you have to analyze all the sources to see exactly what the word listing means. It's a very hard word to define. It's used differently in different places. It's a hard word to define. Normally it's used in reference to crossroads. You come to the crossroads, you come to an intersection on the highway where everyone makes a turn. You go left, right, there are a lot of lights, stop signs, and there's a lot of directions. It's a place where people have to make decisions which way to go. And that's where people are vulnerable. And that's where these evil people, they hide out. And when people are vulnerable and they're making decisions to go one way, right, left, forward, backwards, is when these bad people take advantage. Okay, there's much discussion. I encourage you to remember this when you come across the word listen Ganavim, to try to find out what it means, and then we'll have a whole new deeper understanding in what the argument of the Umos Olam are against Klal. But that's not the point I want to make over here now. Atem Shekivashtem Aretz Shivas, you conquered. Look what you've done. You have conquered the nation, the lands of the seven Goyim, not the ten Goyim, another Diak. They're really ten nations, only seven nations. Haim, so what will the Jewish people say to the nation of the world? Haim! Haim refers to the Klal Yisrael. Oymim Lahem will say in response, Kol Aretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire earth belongs to Hashem. That's Bereishis. That's why we have Chumash Bereishis. That's why we have the first few parashios of Shemos until Parashas Bo. Hu Bara'ah, Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world. Unisana, and has given it La'asher Yashar Be'enav. And originally, he gave it to the seven nations of Canaan. He gave the world to who he still saw fit. But they have not fulfilled Hashem's will. They have chosen the path of evil. Beritzoinai nasna lahem, uveritzoinai, with his will he has given it to them, and he has taken it away from them, and given it to us, uveritzoinai, nitla mehem, has taken it away from them, the nasna lanu, has given it to us. Okay, that's the first Rashi, Rabbi Yitzchak, the tradition. Rabbi Yitzchak was the father of Rashi.
By the way, this is not one medrash, but two midrashim.
Compilation.
The question is from one source, from Bereishis Rabbah, and the answer is from Tanhuma Yashan. So that
itself
is in fact spliced to very different midrashim together.
Okay, very good. There are many, many in Yonim. Now, the only point I want to make is this follow. I want to make a short point. We know that when you make a siyum, there is a minog to bring together the end with the beginning. You always must bring. And certainly that goes true when it comes to Torah, Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. What comes before Bereishis? What comes before Bereishis is Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Is the Parshas V'Zois HaBracha. Torah is not linear. Torah is a circle. There's no beginning, there's no end, there's no tchil of a sof. Ein muktom u'mu'ucha b'Torah means there's no beginning, no end. Muktom u'mu'ucha still means there's no order. Forget about order. It's a complete cycle. And there's always a significance in juxtaposition. So what is juxtaposed to Bereishis Bara Elokim? Well, let's go to the very last pasuk in the Torah. The very last pasuk in the Torah says, "Ulchol hayot hachazaka." It's describing Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a hesped on Moshe Rabbeinu. Ulchol hayot hachazaka. The Moshe Rabbeinu's accomplishment, his strong hand. Ulchol hamoira hagadol. And his great might, awe that he instilled, Asher Asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. So, what is the Pshuta Shel Mikra? How do we understand the Pshuta Shel Mikra? So, Rashi tells us, where is the Rashi over here? Le'enei. Ayifka, what is going on over here? Oh, here it is, I'm sorry. It's right in front of me. I was looking over here at the Simonim. Okay. What was Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu, the last pasuk. Shekibeles haTorah beluchos biyadav. Moshe was mekabel the Torah in his own hands. Ulechol hamoira hagadol nisim ugvuros shebemidbar hagadol vehanara. Le'enei, the last words of the Torah. Le'enei called Yisrael. Shenasoi liba, his heart inspired him, lishbar haluchos leinayim, shaviras haluchos. Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed. He shattered. He shattered the luchos. Shenemar v'ashabrem leinayim. Rashi picks up on the word leinay. Why is the term leinay? Because he broke the luchos in front of the eyes. Leinayim. The eschima das hakadosh baruch hu ledai to Hashem was maskim. Excellent, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have done the good thing. You have done what is right in my eyes by sharing the luchos. Shnem asher shibarta yishar koychacha sheshibarta. May your strength be firm in this that you have broken the luchos. I agree with what you have done. Fascinating. The end of the Torah concludes with shiris haluchos. And how is shiris haluchos described? It's described with power within the framework of the Yod HaChazaka. The Yod HaChazaka, Moshe was a powerful person. The basic theme is Yod HaChazaka, L'chamar G'dash Os Moshe. And what was the Yod HaChazaka? Because the word L'chol HaYod HaChazaka also comes to modify L'ini Kol Yisrael. Rashi darshins L'chol HaYod HaChazaka was a makabel the Torah. But when you take the pasuk in its full form, the words L'chol HaYod HaChazaka are coming to give clarity to the words Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Moshe was had a Yod HaChazaka, a mighty hand in front of Klal Yisrael. What was the mighty thing that he has done in front of Klal Yisrael? He shattered the luchos. So what do we learn from this pasuk? Koyach, koyach masaf. The Yod HaChazaka. Moshe is a powerful person. He has a mighty hand. He was mekabel the luchos. He did moifsin for Klal Yisrael in the desert, and part of the Yod HaChazaka, his might, his power was, he shattered the luchos. The koyach of his deeds, the power. What's power? Power is to destroy. Okay, I'll just tell you, l'havil elef alfi havdolos. Mamish. I was listening to a segment about on the radio, I think it was the radio, I'm not sure, about the president, the elections, and they're talking about that we have no hasaga. I didn't say that word, of course, the radio, of how could it be that a democracy, after 4 or 8 years, a president gives up power. Mamash gives up power. You step down out of office. You accept the haskam of the people. They don't want you anymore. They don't want you, or it's time to go and you leave. So George Washington, the first president, when he was about to give up power, King Henry from Britain, when he heard about that George Washington's term of 4 years or 8 years, 8 years over, he couldn't believe it. He says, I don't believe that George Washington will relinquish power, will give up power. And if he will give up power, he's the greatest man on earth. That's what he said about George Washington. The ability to take something, now that was just giving up. Here we're dealing with destroying. To destroy something that is precious, cherished, that's even a greater koyach than creating something. When you create something, you put in so much effort, so much toil. It's my handiwork. I'm not going to destroy it. Moshe Rabbeinu from the time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time of the burning bush, he was nurtured. He worked his whole life for this moment to be mekabel the Torah. B'mo'eda. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "How do I know that Klal Yisrael will be zoicha to geula? Kisav do noisi. You'll come to Har Sinai. You'll be mekabel the Torah. The whole tafkid. The only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was recruited to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and all of the tzaris and all of those work was for the moment of mekabel the luchos. And what did he do? He destroyed it. We have no clue of what koyach that is. Koyach masav." It's churban. It's the ability, after everything is said and done, it's no good, it's not right, it's not the right time, Klal Yisrael is not ready, they're not deserving, it's going to ultimately lead to their churban. If I give them the Torah at this point in time when they worship the eagle, I have to destroy the luchos. That's the pasuk that comes right before Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. And what does Rashi in the beginning tell us? Koyach Masav Higid La'ama. So what does Koyach Masav mean? We're learning Bereishis. Bereishis. Boro Elokim. Creation. Rashi says you're making a big mistake, Rabbi Isai. You're learning Bereishis Boro. That's not what it's all about. It's not about creation. You want to talk about the Torah? The Torah really begins in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Mitzvos. Everything from the beginning until then is Churban. Hashem is showing us how He destroyed everything He created in many different layers. In other words, let me just explain, bring out this point a little in different ways. The truth is, the whole parish aspirations, you know what it is? It's the maftir. When you come this Shabbos, you lay, the whole parish until you get to maftir, it's not even the introduction. It's I don't know if you would say it's the foreword or it's you know what it says on the cover of the book.
The preface,
the whole pasuk is Vayar Hashem ki rabo ro'as ha'odom ba'oretz v'chol yetzer machshavos libo rak rak kol hayom v'yinochem Hashem. Hashem changed his mind. He decided to destroy the world. Ki also es ha'odom ba'oretz v'yisatzev el libo v'yomer Hashem. Guess what? Enche. I'm going to destroy the world. Koyach, that's Koyach Masav. When Rashi in the beginning of Bereishis says Koyach Masav Gilyam, he's not referring to Bereishis Boro Elokim. That's not the Hagdama. He's referring to the last Maftir. Emche Esa Odom Asher Barasi. I'm going to create and destroy. I'm Alpani Adama. I'm Yadam Abahim. Everything goes. Asher Barasi Me Alpani Adama Me Odom Ad Behema Ad Remes Ver Oif Hashemayim Nochamo Kini Chamdi Ki Asti Sim Koyach Masav Churban. Only thing that's going to remain will be Noach, because Noach Motzachin. Noach is but everything else goes. And then you go further, another layer. Then you go from Noach, Hashem creates a whole new world, and Avram Avinu starts working with this world and is mekar of the world. And what does Hashem say to Avram Avinu? Forget about it. Forget about the world. No more are you Avram. No more you're going to be part. Lech lecha. Get out of here. I have much bigger things. Ki biyitzchok yikaru lecha zara. Forget about the world. They're hopeless. Just forget about it. We're going to focus on just one family. Ki biyitzchok yikaru lecha zara. I'm going to build from you a whole new world. The whole world is all about koyach masav, the ability to reject. Now let's explain that. Let's explain this a little bit deeper. What is the difference between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios? The Luchos Rishonos Let's focus on Shabbos, because Shabbos really, to a certain degree, defines everything. Lucas Hashanah, what does it say about Shabbos? It says, Maisa Bereishis. Why do we commemorate Shabbos? We commemorate Maisa Bereishis. What do we commemorate? Why do we commemorate Shabbos? The Lucas Shiniyos, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Luchos Rishonis is Maisa Bereishis, creation. Luchos Shnios is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Everyone agrees without question that Luchos Rishonis, the first set of Luchos, was on a much, much higher level than the Luchos Shnios. The Luchos Rishonis was Maaseh Elokim. What more do you need to say about that? The Luchos Shnios was Psolucha, mundane stones. You quarry stones out of the mountain. Now, Hashem's, I'll write the text. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to get regular stone, go find some mountain, find some stone. The Luchos Rishonis represent a level of Kedusha that is beyond our comprehension. The Luchos Shnios, which we live with today, is just a small teeny fraction of the sanctity of the Luchos Rishonis. Why? What's the difference? The difference really lies in many areas, but many in Shabbos. There are two ways to come to appreciate HaKadosh, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One way is look at the world. You go out into the world, you look at debris, you look at Tev, you look at nature. Mi bara ela, who created this world? It's a very, very high level. The other way to come is revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear, we discuss this many Yeshayim many times. Judaism is not like Christianity and Islam, where it's a big, big secret. God came to one person, no one knows, no one saw. Just trust me that it happened. Trust me that it happened. One person, one big secret, one big lie. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to every single person by Matan Torah. Rosh, Shivcha, Shaviyah, Mashaloy, Rochaz, that was by Matan Torah, by Bezas Yamsuf, by Chris Yamsuf. But the idea is, there was divine revelation to every single member of Klai Yisrael. We saw it. It was there. Okay, maybe not us, but our forefathers, and it was every generation. Remember the Maimon of Har Sinai, one of the fundamental. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world? Why do we do Hashem's mitzvos? It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us. He revealed himself to us by Har Sinai. Because if Hashem didn't reveal to himself to us by Har Sinai, guess what? We wouldn't be believers. Why not? But go out into the world. Look at the Chochmah. Look at the world. Mi bara ela. Unfortunately, we're not on a level. A human being is so weak spiritually, he's not on a level to come to a level of sanctity by just looking at the Olam HaTeva. We need to come to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu only because of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the miracles that Hashem has done for us in Mitzrayim. Through that, we're able to come to the higher level to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mi Bara Ela. The Luchos Rishonis Shabbos. Shabbos is the ultimate. Mein Olam Haba. Where? Bria. Hashem created the world. Look at the world. It's a very, very high level, which we're not ready for. We live on Luchos Shnios, which represents where Hashem revealed himself physically to us, whatever that means, through the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed. Who was the one that made this decision that brought about this transfer? Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw the Klal Yisrael, they're not deserving, they're not right to the level of the Luchos Rishonis, who represents the higher level of Maaseh Bereishis. Only thing we come on to is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. We come on to what happened from Parashas Bo onward. There was divine revelation. That's what we come on to. Moshe Rabbeinu said, forget about, don't come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through looking at the Bria from Chumash Bereishis, from Bereishis Bo Lekim until Chumash Bo, because Klal Yisrael, you're not on that level. That's a level which is beyond you. That's Haluchos Maaseh Elokim Hema. You're not ready for that. We're going to destroy that. We're only going to focus on something which is a much lower level, the lower level of Luchos Shnios, which is going to be from HaKadosh Elokim Rosh Chodashim. That is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's exactly what Rashi here is saying in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Bereishis, we have two parts. We have Bereishis until Bo, then from Bo. We don't need all this, because this whole section of Torah from Bereishis until Bo is really the world of Luchos Rishonis. It's Luchos Rishonis. And Koyach Mas of Higid Liamo, Hashem, just like Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed, shattered the Luchos Rishonos, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu shattered the Luchos Rishonos. He said, "Vayinochem Hashem ki yasa Adam, Avraham lech lecha." It's only going to be ki b'yitzik, because the rest of the world are hopeless. Eretz and the nations of the world, I really wanted the whole world. The Kedusha should rest throughout the entire world. But the whole world, you're not deserving, so get lost. I'm going to go give it to my kibbutz Yitzchak Zara, and they'll inherit Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to shout the Luchos Shniyos, it's going to be Luchos Shniyos. Now here's the critical point. The critical point is, what a Chazal tells about the Luchos Shniyos, Luchos Rishonos. The Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, Munachos Parah. Even though it's true the Luchos Rishonos were shattered, Luchos Shniyos v'Luchos Luchos Munachos Parn. He's Zoyer b'Talmud Chacham sheshachach limudoi, because the Talmud Chacham who forgot his learning is equivalent to the Luchos Shniyos. Why do you need the Luchos Shniyos, the Shivrei Luchos in the Aron, or in the Beis Hamikdash and the Kodesh HaKadosh? You have to have Luchos, you have to Shivrei Luchos. Teretz is, you have to look up to a higher level. You have to be practical. You have to know where you hold and where you're holding. But you have to have she'ifos, yearnings, to things that are above and beyond you.
Or what could be.
What could be. And what will one day will be in a perfect world. Ultimately being what was, will return to what was in the future in a perfect world. In the Aron, Chazal taught us, we live in the Luchos Shniyos. That's the practical world, that's the world that we know. But we have to have she'ifos, yearnings, to come back to the Kedusha of the Shivrei Luchos. Now we understand. The truth is, the Torah should have begun with HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim, because HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodashim is the Luchos Shniyos. But Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos Menachos Bar. The Aron is the Torah. You have to have she'ifos for things that are greater, that are higher. We have to be inspired to come back to a perfect world, Adam HaRishon, Koidem Achet, which will take place in the time of Mashiach, the Shivrei Luchos. And that comes first. And what comes first is called Koyach Masa. Because it's something which is unsustainable and which has to be destroyed. And it was destroyed. It was destroyed in many different layers, many different levels, all different points of time, until we come to the Luchos Shniyos, which is practical. But it's still Koyach Masav. And the Koyach Masav has to be there. Just like the Shivrei Luchos Amunachos Bar. Okay, so this is an idea I want to bring out. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Mevarachim Cheshvein. All the best, and Amir Tashem, pick up on Monday at 9:30.